Hello, everybody, and welcome to our podcast, Between Two Worlds. It's good to have you listening with us. You should grab a cup of coffee. This is going to be a good one. I got my coffee here. I got my two good friends here, Ron. He's looking at me funny. And Luke. I guess we're not friends.
Oh, Gitch. You crack me up.
Huge assumption.
Huge assumption. Although I think if you go back about four or five episodes, we talked about
this. We did talk about how you...
We are friends.
Who said friends?
I think
one of
did.
Us said friends, yeah. And then you denied it last time.
I didn't deny it. I just... I'm careful with the F word. The friend word.
Oh, there you did it.
Man.
I'm careful. There you did it.
I'm careful with it.
We're what? A minute in and you already blew it?
I know.
I didn't blow nothing. You guys are good? Everyone's good?
Everyone is good, I think.
Everyone's good?
Yeah.
It was Mother's Day this past weekend. My wife and I, no one's asking, but I'm going to tell you anyway. My wife and I jumped on the ferry. My parents live in Victoria.
Wow.
And we surprised my mom on Friday morning. We took the first ferry out of Vancouver, and we showed up Friday morning. We surprised my mom at work.
Did you surprise
Jasmine? Bouquet of flowers. Nope.
Oh.
Nope. Mm. Bouquet of flowers, and she nearly fell over.
Figuratively,
nearly fell over.
Figuratively, out of her chair. She was at work.
Just, wow.
Yeah. Had to get out the defibrillator. No, I'm just kidding.
What did Mason do for Jasmine?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I thought you said no. Mason got her something.
Well, it was me, but I made it seem like it was him.
Okay.
Flowers and new sandals. Birkenstock.
Mason bought your wife sandals.
His mom, yeah.
How much money are you giving him for his allowance?
You know what? He has more money in his bank account at his, you know, disposable... whatever, than I do. Not saying much,
is
but...
Does he wear disposables?
He does.
He does. So working for him.
That's right. Oh, good times. So...
Well, that's good. You had a good weekend then on the island.
We did.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it was good. It's a good place to visit. Good place to go to.
You have fun there. That's good.
I do have fun there.
That's good. I'm glad you do.
You guys, what'd you do? Mother's Day.
Ron preached.
I preached.
A couple sermons on the weekend.
Yep. So it was a full weekend.
Yeah. And then my mom and Janaea went shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Came back and me, Jay, and a little bit of Cody made dinner.
That's right. So we
like
had dinner last
night. A little
night.
Bit of Cody? Like which part of him made dinner?
Mostly just his hands, but he wanted to make Brussels sprouts.
Ugh. He's into Brussels sprouts for
He's into
reason.
Brussels sprouts. He thinks everyone likes I mean, I don't mind them.
Ooh, get too much of them though.
But they make my
he's the
smell
only
funny.
One who actually likes them. Like he'll go out of his way to make them. And he thought, "What, you guys don't like this?" I'm like,
Here's the thing with Brussels sprouts.
Well, you can't
no,
do, here's the
I
thing.
I can't say that.
You can't say that.
Is this your segment?
No,
now?
It's not. Okay. But here's a funny part about Brussels sprouts is that I have a sister-in-law who hates vegetables. Anything green just will not touch it. She's an adult. She's in her 20s, mm-hmm. But Brussels sprouts, she just discovered them and loves them. She'll make Brussels sprouts like frequently, but she won't touch any other vegetable. So I don't know what it is. I don't like them.
One you
bit.
Don't?
No, not one bit.
Not at all. Won't no. eat them. Won't no. touch them.
I would won't touch them if I had to.
You'd use them to throw people. Throw.
Yeah, I'd more likely to scoop
they're
a few.
Yeah. They're nice.
They have to get a nice little... You could put them in a slingshot and you could put distance
they're
on them.
They're a little slippery though.
But
you got to be careful.
I think you butter them up. You don't have to butter them up though.
Yeah.
It's true. Maybe that's why they're so good if you... butter them.
Oh, you put lots of butter on them? They're so good.
Anyway, I nearly blew it there. It's not my time for Here's the Thing. It's Luke's time for Here's the Thing. Luke.
Okay, guys, here's the thing. I feel like in Abbotsford, it's about time that we have a breakfast place that makes bagels. Can anybody name a breakfast place in Abbotsford that makes bagels?
Tim Hortons.
Canadian Great Bagel.
See, Gitch, I'm not going to accept that answer because those are garbage frozen bagels.
Starbucks.
I'm talking...
Safeway.
I'm talking about... See, that's Superstore. Not bad, but you can't sit down in Safeway or Superstore and eat that bagel.
Why not? Cut it open. They sell knives. They sell cream cheese. They even sell toasters. You could do everything there.
See...
They do not sell toasters at Safeway.
I bet they do.
I don't think they do.
I don't think so.
Maybe. Or you could give it to the sandwich guy. And
the sandwich guy can maybe toast
maybe.
It for you.
Yeah.
But...
Bagel place.
I remember when I was a kid and there was this store called, a restaurant called Great Canadian Bagel, and they made the bagels right in front of you.
Awesome.
And they were the most amazing bagels I've ever had. And you know what? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of there not being a place where I can get a bagel. A good bagel. What? Tim Hortons is not a good place to get a bagel.
Just move on to muffins or croissants.
No.
You can't put bacon inside a muffin. You can't put an egg inside a muffin, except an English muffin.
Or a croissant.
You could with a croissant. But like the bagel, it's just so good. And I got a little ticked off when they left.
I know.
We got ticked off. And in the age where there is so many like hipster coffee places, why can't we have a hipster bagel place? So if anyone's listening that wants to sponsor my endeavors in making an Abbotsford breakfast bagel place, please hit me up at lfriesen@northu.org.
You're looking for more of an investor than a sponsor though, right?
Same thing. They're sponsoring me to make this or investing in me to make this.
But see, sponsors typically, it's more of like a gift. I'm helping you. Like
I'll
you
take a gift.
We'd have to rename it. It couldn't be the Great Canadian.
No, it'd be something else. It'd be like
the True North Bagel.
Ooh, that's
actually
Vogue.
Good.
That
I'd is there. Good.
True North yeah. Bagel.
So if anyone wants to fund me and Ron's vision.
What happened to all those Great Canadian, like, I mean.
Don't know.
Like, what happened that machinery's got to be.
What happened
be
to all those Gretzky jerseys in there?
Oh, I know.
So
hang on. You just said your and Ron's endeavor. This is a joint thing. You guys share
I'd
this.
Be part of it.
You share this burden.
We do. I mean, this was actually quite a. This was like a weekly routine that on the weekend. I mean, because they make these bagels right in front of you, so there's big glass windows, and all this machinery's happening. The dough's happening, and then they're popping out and they're coming down this conveyor belt.
And it sounds like like Krispy Kreme a bit. And,
yeah, a little bit of that.
Picture Krispy Kreme except donuts.
Donuts, yeah.
I mean bagels.
And so. These things are just fresh, and you could order them the way you wanted, all different kinds. And it was just sitting right there, and it just kept coffee and a bagel. And our kids would just love watching these guys make that and see this machine
and
going.
And the smell was incredible.
Oh, it was really good.
You could smell it outside.
Oh. So in the meantime, might I suggest the jalapeno cheddar bagel from Costco?
No, that's good, but I'm just talking about the whole experience.
I don't think so.
It's the experience.
Yeah, there's something to be said for the
same
experience.
With like the coffee. Like people nowadays would rather have you a pour over an AeroPress, Chemex, rather than someone who just out of the pot.
Chemex, don't they make cement? Isn't that a cement company?
That's cement. Yeah, but yeah, sure.
Concrete. Cement is not really the word.
Concrete. Shoot.
You should use concrete.
But yes, that is my. Here's the thing with Luke.
Thank you, Luke. I appreciate that.
All right. Send a bagel Luke's way.
Oh, yeah. If anybody has a good bagel recipe, I love bagels.
And our corporate sponsor the last 2 weeks has been MIA. We don't know where our Tim Hortons, Timbits, or coffees have been. So they're not doing their job.
We need a new sponsor.
We're looking for a new corporate sponsor.
And if you have bagels, that's even
better. The True North Bagel Company.
The True North Bagel Company. Yeah.
TBC.
Oh, that could be right here.
TNBC.
We could do that right here.
This could be it. This could be the founding fathers of the True North Bagel Company.
Mason could be the face
he could be
of the True North Bagel Company.
He could be the heir. Mason is Gitch's son.
Heir with an H? Hair. Hair. Anyway, Luke, tell me about youth last week. Ron, tell me about youth last week. What'd you do?
Youth last week was our last core group, so it was our fun core group. So for me and my grade 10 boys, we fit 13 boys in a hot tub.
Woohoo!
How big's a hot tub?
Not fit for 13 boys. So we broke the record of the most people I've ever fit in a hot tub at one time.
Whose hot tub?
Greg Cron, my next door neighbor. Nice. So we both have hot tubs, but I didn't feel like splitting up, so we just all piled into one hot tub.
But if you live next door, you could have just thrown stuff at each other, Brussels sprouts at each other across
last
the fence.
Last time, yeah. I mean, a funny story, one time, when I had the youth boys over, this was 4 years ago, so the people who just graduated last year, I had to leave to go get barbecue sauce. And my kids, are you guys okay by yourself? Like, oh yeah, we're fine. I'm like, just watch the burgers. Like, okay.
Ooh.
So I left, grabbed barbecue sauce, came right back. I come home to them looking at the burgers and be like, this one's no good, and flipping them into our next door neighbor's yard.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So about three or four of them got tossed into our next door neighbor's yard.
Did they have a dog?
No. Well, we have lots of crows and raccoons around. Yeah. So, I mean, they probably got eaten.
You imagine finding just like a hockey puck.
I just walk by and I see the kids flipping the burgers over the hedges. Oh, it was so funny.
Core group on wild.
Yeah.
Wow. We had a core group that went fishing actually last
week.
Core
group went fishing.
They caught fish.
Yeah, Mill Lake. Babbitt's group.
Babbitt's group.
I don't know where they caught it.
Silver Creek.
Silvermere?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They caught some nice trout, fried them up.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Some people went to Castle Fun Park. Yeah. Some people just went to the Tulip Festival, which is a ripoff.
Careful.
Sorry. It's not a ripoff on the Toonie Tuesday.
I just have no interest in flowers. So.
I don't either.
Sorry, guys.
Do you know they had, on one weekend, they made over $600,000.
Wow. It's a lot of tulips.
There's money in tulips.
You need to knock on the tulip man's door and see if he'll sponsor your bagel.
I should. Yeah.
He's your guy.
I'll talk. I know who they are.
600 G's in a weekend?
Yeah. One weekend.
That's good business.
People flock to those things. The freeways plugged.
Tulip
can't drive there. You can't get on there.
I'm going to say something outlandish. Tulips are the new quota.
Really?
I'm just saying.
That's huge.
I'm just saying.
Well, if anyone's asking or interested, Gitch,
how did your Thursday night go with
you? Hey, thanks for asking, Luke. We launched a new series in the book of 1 Thessalonians. It's a great book.
How do you spell that?
T-H-A-T.
Hmm.
Boom.
How do you spell Thessalonians?
T-H-E-S-S-A-L-O-N-I-A-N-S.
Nicely done.
I think. Two S's.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. So we launched that series. Now, basically, Paul is talking to this church. It's a really interesting book, and they're a really interesting city. You can read about them in Acts. There's a really cool scene in Acts where, anyways, you can read it yourself. Acts 17. But basically, Paul's encouraging this church to say, hey, you guys get it. You're doing good. Keep going. Keep doing so, and all the more. And then it talks a little bit about, the end times and things like that. But it's a really good book. So Danae Stiles, she's our intern youth in the Mission Campus. She spoke. She did just a great job. And she talked about basically different components of faith. And those two were that faith turns you away from idols. And then faith causes you to rejoice in the midst of circumstances, whether that's suffering or, oppression or anything like that. So yeah, it was really, really good. And then we had a good time of prayer at the end. And then, we're going to carry on with that. And our year's almost over. So we're going to wrap up Thessalonians. And then our last youth night as a Mission Campus High School youth and Mission Campus Middle School youth, we're going to Camp Luther for our wrap up night. So
what are you guys
going to
do?
We're going to do, I can't tell you actually until after it happens. Because we may have some.
Does that mean you haven't planned it? Nicely done.
No, it just means I can't tell you because it's classified.
It's classified. I know what that means.
Yeah, Ron. No, it means I can tell you because...
Oh, because of listeners?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's implying that we have listeners, Gitch.
Well, that's true. I'm going to go with that assumption and I'm sticking to it.
Nicely done.
But speak of end of the year, it's a really interesting time because not only do we, maybe some of us are going away on holidays or whatever, but I know for me, Luke and I were talking earlier today, you're looking ahead already at next year, planning out curriculum, content, what you want to teach. There's this interesting transition that happens just naturally in the summer. It seems like for a lot of people and, it's kind of a break or holiday time. And so when you think about this idea of transitions, how does that work in like a teenager's world where they have it seems like there's all these transition or there's these changes of seasons in life where, you see them right from when they're a toddler to, let's say, starting preschool or starting, kindergarten or whatever. And then, they go through the years of elementary school and then there's kind of another significant transition depending on how your school systems are organized. But, into your pre-adolescent kind of teenage middle school years. And then you see another one in high school. And then at the end of high school, there's sort of this kind of the grand transition that every kid looks up, looks forward to is the sort of the release into the real world where you graduate high school and then now you're kind of on your own. And so for some of us, we're heading into that. We got grade 12s who are moving on into either post-secondary or maybe work or maybe a year off. What are some things? Let's talk about this for a little bit here. This idea of transitions. How do we equip students through this? How should parents equip their teenagers? Whether that's a transition into, young adult years, into college or whatever, or whether that's a transition, into maybe a job. Mm-hmm. Some people right out of high school get a job. Some students decide, hey, I need a year for myself. Maybe I'm going to do a Bible school, Cape and Ray or something like that. What are some talking points on these?
Well, I think a couple of things come to mind immediately as you as a parent, you are obviously looking ahead more than your child is. You know, they're living in the immediate, in the now, so to speak. And so when you've got a child in grade 9, grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12, and you understand the progression moving on year by year. But we also understand in today's world that our students are not they're not maturing as quickly as maybe they were 10 years ago or more. That's why, you know, I think parents are a little more nervous because they're looking back when they graduated, how much more, let's say, freedom or the possibilities weren't nearly as frightening, let's say. And I think that probably puts a lot of pause in terms of what parents are thinking is going to happen to their kids, you know, especially as they move through the grade 11 and grade 12 year. And, you know, if you're in grade 11, you know, okay, you got one more year to kind of wrestle with this. But if also you got students who are in grade 12, you got kids in grade 12, and all these questions start happening. I mean, graduation is on them. I says, what are you doing for summer? What are you doing for fall? Am I going to college? You know, and a lot of these things have to be done way earlier just to get accepted. You know, just you can't just kind of show up there. So parents need to be involved early. And I think that's part of the issue here is that you need to start talking with your kids on all of these things. Like, well, you know, and not that kids need to know what they're doing, but they do need to have a plan. And I think that's, you know, the issue is that a lot of times if there's no plan, there's going to be some angst there with mom and dad, like, what are you going to do? You know, and, you know, your world is changing. And so I think you've got to start, you know, coming up with a plan. It doesn't mean that they don't have any, the kids don't have anything to say about it, but there should be opportunities. There should be interest. There should be some things that you're kind of nudging them towards, you know, whether it's a trade school, whether it's a college, whether it's a gap year, whether it's just working, all of those things. But I guess one thing I would just say is, parents, you need to be working on a plan, and it probably needs to start earlier than, you know, a month or two before they graduate.
And I think what's interesting too is, you know, speaking as a millennial, if a millennial is basically, what's the proper term? What are the parameters on that? Basically, someone who was in their adolescence, kind of.
As you turned into the 2000s.
Right.
Yep. Entered, so yeah. Born in the 90s.
Basically.
Would be a millennial.
So a millennial, yeah. So it's kind of this, you know, up-and-coming generation. And I think even speaking kind of into the future, we're sort of in this new generation where, you know, Ron, when you were looking at graduating, a lot of people, your fate or your career path was probably in a lot of ways decided for you. Like if you were a farmer, chances are you would stick on the farm. Or if your dad was a mechanic, you would just take on the family bit. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so speaking as a millennial, looking at a lot of my peers who I graduated with, you know, a lot of them are kind of hopping around doing different things. And it's not that there's a problem with that, but there also is this kind of level of wanting to explore or wanting to see different, you know, workplaces or work environments or choose something, do it for 3-4 years, move on to something else, 3-5 years, move to something else. And there's no issue with that. But I think it's an interesting factor at play where, you know, we've been told all these years that, you know, you can kind of do whatever you like to do, you know, just pick something, try it out. If you like it, great. If not, you know, it's kind of a message we've been raised with. And so I think that's something we'll start to see too, where maybe the certainty going forward for our teenagers isn't necessarily there like maybe it once was, where it seemed like it was like, you know, you have these prearranged these arranged marriages. In some ways, it was like you had an arranged career, right? Almost in some ways.
Yeah, I think something that was helpful for when I was going through this was that I don't think I could have disappointed my parents. No matter what I did, they just were like, okay, whatever you want to do. You want to go play football? Go play football. You want to go to UFE? Go to UFE. Fine. You want to play for the Huskers or CIS? It's up to you. You want to go to Cape Henry? That's fine. Like, I mean, there's one thing that Cape Henry was like probably the highest on the list. Go take a gap year. But it was knowing that my parents were okay with whatever I wanted to do. And just being there. And another thing was that they provided me with options that I had no short of things to choose from.
the option, the for me, the decision wasn't as much, man, I don't know what to do because there's nothing to do. It was, I don't know what to do because there's so many options, mm-hmm. which I think is a better thing than being like, well, my only option right now is to go to work. And so providing your kids and having an open dialogue about, okay, what do you like to do? What are some passions that you have in life? Okay, how can we meet this passion that you have? Mm-hmm. God has given you the abilities, and what do you think? Mm-hmm. What do you think God has let you be good at? What gifts has he given you? Now, how can we, how can you most glorify God this way? So
right.
let's look at this. And I think it's not just sending a kid off to university. I think so often we just get caught in that mindset, like after high school, they go right to university, they go right to college, they get that degree. Mm-hmm. Well, let's think about that before they waste 60, 80, 100 grand on 4 years, 5 years, 8 years of schooling. Is it something that they're actually good at, something mm-hmm. that they want to do? Because, I mean, you as parents, you watch your kids grow up and see what they do, and you have insight of what you think they'd be good at.
Right. Well, I think part of the problem is that, you know, there's just not pressure from the parental side of you. There's pressure everywhere. I mean,
lots.
You know, in terms of, you know,
society pressure.
Yeah, just like you have to make something out of your life.
Yeah,
now.
You're looked down upon if you're like 4 years out of high school. Oh, you haven't been to any school after high school.
Yeah,
or traveled. Or
you haven't traveled, done any degree. What have you been doing with your life?
Yeah. So I think in that world, you want to be very, very careful. What's the end goal here in mind? You know, and I think, you know, anytime you're, you know, obviously your sons, your daughters are going to be leaving home, you know, and we understand now the millennials are sticking around a lot longer than the previous generations, you know, because it's hard to, you know, you're not buying a house in this market unless you are loaded.
It's hard,
you know,
to rent a house.
It's hard to even put rent together,
rent,
you know, because rent's going up and, you know, and wages aren't necessarily climbing that either. So, I mean, you know, this generation is caught in this. Mm-hmm. Multiple jobs, multiple ways of making money, all of these things. And so I think you go to university, and by the time you finish university, things will change, you know. And so I think you have to have a very open mind as to what might transpire here. And I think along the way, you got to be, as parents, you got to be encouraging, you know, your sons and daughters to continue to work hard, you know, get the jobs, save the money, figure out where things are going, you know, find that place in life where you would like to make an impact with, because things will change. You'll go to university, you'll line up in this degree and realize, I don't want to do that, and I'll switch over to another one. Or I'll have a job and I'll say, I don't want to do this kind of a job, and I'll now move away. So there's going to be progression along the way here. It's kind of like trying different things. Even when you were a child, like we just let all our kids try all the sports. Figure out which one you like, you know, hobbies, sports, all that kind of stuff. And then if you locked into one of them, that's great. And there's lots of options for our kids today, lots of options. And there's job fairs and there's great schools and all that kind of stuff. But I think more importantly, there are our kids maturing enough to handle these decisions. Because with this exiting high school and leaving home come a lot more other pressures too, of how to conform to the world. What kinds of pressures do I do? Because now that I'm in this venue of life, I have way more freedom, you know? And so I guess there's, you know, even as parents prepare their kids for college and for life after high school, you're always hoping too that there's going to be a lot of stability as a believer and a follower of Christ, that their devotion to Christ and their commitment to Christ is going to be real, and it's going to be able to land in a place at university, a secular university, and their faith is going to be able to withstand all of that, you know, and so all of that. But that's why a lot of times there's this gap here, going to the Capenries, going to the YWAMs, going to Bible college, all of those things that help kids mature in their faith and get a little more stability, get a little more foundation underneath them.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something good there. With the whole, when they go to university or college or wherever they may be, is that they'll be faced with a sort of an opposition, mm-hmm. that the faith is where it actually becomes their own. And so I think that comes from parents. You have to make sure you're asking your kids the tough questions. You have to be asking them, like, why is the faith actually their own? Mm-hmm. Because if their faith isn't their own by the time they go to a secular university, if they go to SFU, UBC, UFE, I mean, there's some smart people there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the philosophy majors, the philosophy, any philosophy class, like all the professors are like, God doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. So, I mean, if kids are not challenged in high school, they will be challenged outside of high school. And so with that, it comes a lot of communication with parents and asking them questions and not just letting them get away with cop-out answers.
Yeah. And so the Sunday school answers aren't going to cut it in university, you know, and it's great to know all these things, but it's one thing to know it in theory, but it's another thing to be able to practice it.
Yeah.
And we have to practice our theology. We have to practice what we believe, mm-hmm. because we will be tested, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a society and a culture that will test our beliefs. And those are the things that you don't necessarily sit down at a desk and write the right answers down.
Yeah.
It's how you live. And so these transition times between high school and college and work and having more freedom as an adult and making choices and making decisions, this is a learned thing. This doesn't happen when they cross the stage, get their diploma and say, I've got it all. This will still continue to be a work in progress. And parents, sometimes we think, oh, they're done. Your job's not over. You know, it's not over. And so there's lots of conversation yet, lots of opportunity for you to speak into the lives, to help them transition. You will be helping your kids out well beyond their grade 12 graduation day.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, and I'm not even just talking the whole financial thing. I'm just talking about the opportunity that you will have them, help them to make good decisions, the conversations. You're a parent and your role changes. It definitely does. You have to give them more independence. You have to talk them into that independence, so to speak, and make sure that you are in a place where you can talk about the things that are important, you know.
And I think in that sense, you would become more of a mentor / friend to your kids, you know, because the child raising years are now behind you, someone like you, Ron. It's not to say you're not a parent anymore, but you know, you're no longer disciplining, you know, for hitting your brother or whatever. Those days are gone. But now it's your kids are going to come to you when they're ready to start making big financial decisions or mm-hmm. getting married. You know, they'll come to you with these bigger issues. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think in that sense, your role does change. I know when I was growing up and kind of entering my sort of adult years, I grew up with my dad. He always owned his own company and, you know, always did very well in refrigeration. And did my dad have dreams of maybe one day, you know, his son taking over mm-hmm. the company? Like maybe,
yep.
Probably. I don't know what dad wouldn't, right? Want your son to walk in those kind of mm-hmm. your footsteps. So probably, I thought about it. But one of the things, Luke, you mentioned this too early on, was about supporting your kids, your teenagers in those years, kind of regardless. My dad was mm-hmm. very, very clear all the way through. He said, look, don't feel any pressure from me to pursue this particular path. So my dad's in refrigeration. Mm-hmm. And so he said, please don't ever feel any pressure from me or any expectation. You know, supported me going to school, maybe didn't understand all of it or, you know, whatever. But I think for me, that was huge, kind of feeling that freedom almost to be able to pursue this, you know. Even though, you know, maybe it could have gone differently had my dad been a little bit more pushy or maybe kind of persuaded me into something. And that's probably would be hard. I don't know, but I'm guessing as a parent to watch your kid make their own decisions, like, you know, as they get through these years.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this idea of a gap year? Can they be... Obviously, they can be helpful, something like a Cape and Ray or even taking a year off to work part-time and, you know, maybe just spend some time, you know, reading or whatever. This idea of a gap year. Now, these can be helpful. What cautions would you offer with gap years?
Yeah, there's huge cautions with either a gap year or just anything in general is that kids who do not get invested in a local church, if they stick around... are often very troubled for the future.
Mm-hmm.
especially I just had my first grads go through, and I can see the ones who are involved in the local church and the ones who are not.
Yes.
And the ones who are not are struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have no community around them anymore. They left. They had don't have the safe, warm embryo of the youth group anymore. Yep. They're gone, and they're just floundering. They're drowning because they don't know what to do anymore. They don't have the Christian friends. They don't have anything, and they think they're fine, but you can see in their lives that they are hurting. And so my biggest thing is when people go off for a gap year, they come back, and sometimes they don't see the local church as an effective use of God's time, is that the church is useless.
I think the gap year, you know, can be a very, very good thing.
I love the gap year. The gap year is a great idea.
And it's proving to be a very, you know, profitable thing for universities and institutions because these students are coming back more mature, willing to be, you know, engaged in their studies versus someone who graduates from high school, gets in, finds out in a month in, I hate this, and they bomb their classes, and they struggle not only in the school side of it, in the academic world, but they also struggle socially, and then it affects them mentally and emotionally, all that kind of stuff. So the gap year can be a good thing. The struggle I have at times is if it's just a holiday.
Yeah,
you know, where you just say, oh, I don't need to do anything. You know, I mean, if you're going to take a gap year, I mean, get a job, get a full time. You don't have to go to travel to a school. You don't have to go, you know, to Europe or, you know, someplace to, you know, for, I mean, talking Christian kids here doing, if they want to go to the Cape and Reese or the YWAMs or whatever, come to Columbia Bible College and do a year of Bible College. Because I see it all the time as a professor at college where parents, I'll meet them when they drop their students, their kids off in fall. And I'll just say, hey, well, what brought your son or daughter here? And to, you know, not to my surprise, but say, we want our son or daughter to learn as much about the Bible as they possibly can, be in a good community, and learn about their faith and get stronger, which is a good thing. You know, but I think, Luke, you hit it dead on. This is not just meant to be something that just happens then. Are you plugged in? Do you have community in the local church? Are you part of a body of believers? And that is so crucial because if you go away, do the Cape and do the YO, you got to plug right back into that local church and you've got to sink your teeth into this thing.
Yeah, even without the gap year, let's just say you're going off to, even like let's say you're leaving at UBC. You need to find a church at UBC.
Absolutely.
You need to find a church at SFU. You're going to University of Toronto. You need to find a church there.
Yeah.
You need to be in an active church community. Without that, as God's main, as the his only tool.
You know, and I would say even as parents, I would be involved in that.
Parents, this is you checking around, asking Ron, because Ron been around. He knows what, if there's good churches around there. We don't ever ask that.
And your kids are probably not going to ask.
No.
Oh, I can hardly wait to go to college and then find a church.
I only had one youth kid who was worried about that. He's like, and last year, he's like, Luke, do you know any of your churches there? I'm like, I'll ask Ron.
Yeah.
Ron knew tons.
Yeah.
And so how often do we go to a school and be like, I wonder what churches are there?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's very true.
We need to be active in it.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not something often we don't think about, is that the decisions like that, we don't think holistically about them, everything from churches to, you know, to community and these kinds of things. I think it's important, too, to just remember that it's not about making necessarily the perfect decision, you know, as if we're destined for one school, one career choice, one
and my
employer,
life is now on track,
right? And it's a matter of discovering this one thing. I think it's
this perfect plan that God has laid out before you, that you just need to find the one door,
right? God's gracious enough and merciful enough to walk with us through this journey, and for some it's longer than others, and that's okay. It's important to be moving forward. You can't steer a ship that isn't moving, right? You need to be able to have some wind in those sails. So.
You're so wise.
That's deep. I read that in a Coffee Java News.
Get, you were smart.
Thanks for your time.
Wise.
I hope this has been helpful if you're a parent or even a teenager.
Funny. Just a genuinely good guy.
Thank you. Whispering those sweet nothings into
sweet
my ear.
Nothings.
I appreciate that. Anyways, that's it for us today. Before this gets any worse.
Better sign off.
We're signing off. If you've got questions or jokes or interesting topics you'd love us to know about or talk about, feel free to send us an email. That's betweentworlds@northview.org. And if you feel like bringing us bagels, coffee, Timbits, donuts,
if I get a
cake,
bagel, I'd be so happy. I'd give a shout out. I'd give a hug. I mean, that'd probably be
that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's a
but
lot.
Because you'd have to get right to that bagel.
I have to get
right,
to that bagel.
Get to that bagel.
If someone was bringing you an everything bagel.
Hugging a bagel.
Ooh. And then you give them a bagel back.
No.
Thanks for tuning in. We will catch you next week. Have a great day.